Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. So, Francis Chan's going to jail.
Yes, he is.
To find, talk to us about that, to be able Francis to find Chan. Minister or something.
Yes, we're always encouraged by Francis Chan and just what he has to share. And he was interviewed. He was invited by Prison Fellowship, which is a ministry of Chuck Colson, to go speak to prisoners.
He's passed now.
Has he passed?
Oh, yes.
Wow. Wow, this ministry's been on for a long time. I didn't realize he passed. Well, he went on Easter, and he says, you know, part of his journey was that, hey, I went to all these people thinking I can reach celebrities and influence and to see, you know, obviously if I win a celebrity to the Lord, they're going to have major impact. And he's like, no, this is not working out. And so he says, you know what? I realized in reading the scriptures as I delved deeper into the Word of God that everyone that Jesus used was just everyday people, and then he went to the people that no one wanted to choose. No one wanted to select or be on their short list, if you will, for a great position. And he realized that, hey, I need to do what Jesus has done, and he wanted to minister to the prisoners, and he has found that.
Well, we might not have to even watch him talk about it, because I think you just totally covered everything that's
in the video. Not yet. No,
okay.
No. you'll hear more. You'll hear more.
All right.
But we could actually watch him, and he says that they're going to be the next pastors, next leaders.
Yes.
Watch now.
My name is Francis Chan, and we're here in Chowchilla at Valley State Prison for Men. My interest in prison ministry started, I think, when I started to study the Word a little bit more deeply and understood the types of people that God typically chooses. They're not the people the world would typically choose to do great things. And so rather than, I remember in my early years, I would pursue the rich, pursue the famous people, you know, thinking, wow, if we got them, then they would just draw so many people to themselves. But then as I studied the scriptures, I saw that that's not typically who God chooses. In fact, he would choose the people that no one else would. And I began going to the poor, began going overseas, and that's where my desire for prison ministry started, thinking, you know, I bet you that's where the leaders are going to come from. I've heard of Prison Fellowship for years and a big fan of Chuck Colson, and spoken at different conferences with Chuck, and then I was invited to come out here for Easter, and I thought, gosh, what better way to spend my Easter weekend than going and just sharing the good news with some of these people who may end up being the future leaders of the Christian movement in America. It's so good for me personally because of the crowds I typically speak to. It gets you back to the focus of what is this all about. And, you know, in our world, we're so used to putting one person as more important than another, or being more gifted and having more potential, or and it's just this reminder of who did Christ go to. He came and he said, I'm going to preach good news to the poor. It's just come to me. Those of you guys that are just burdened, heavy laden, he went to those who the world typically rejected, and so it's just a reminder of, wow, Jesus went to them. And I've met guys in prison who say, man, I met Jesus here, and I would rather be locked in this cell for the rest of my life knowing Jesus than being out there, because out there I didn't know him. I was blind, and they've come to life here, and to think, wow, that type of resurrection power could happen today, and to say, gosh, I could sacrifice a few hours of my life to get to experience that moving of God. Of course it's worth it. These guys just need a little bit of help, just a little bit of someone coming alongside. And I keep thinking, man, if the church would catch this vision and quit getting so scared and start living by faith, man, they just need someone to come along their side and give them an opportunity, because they've done their time, not only done their time, but a lot of them have done some serious training while they're in prison. And I really believe that if we would just give some of these guys an opportunity, they're going to be amazing pastors and leaders.
Amazing. Wow. Totally amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's incredible, you know, because oftentimes people want to look for the wrong people. You know, people that are not listening to the message and not listening to the truth. And Francis reminds us that
always,
you know, hey, listen, let's go back to what Jesus did. You know, share with those who are going to respond.
Right, right. And to think about it, you know, who does God choose? We should know that.
Yes.
I mean, Paul said the reason why he chose me, talking about himself, is because I am the worst of all sinners. I mean, he even called himself the chief of sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that to demonstrate, he said, how merciful God is.
Yeah.
And so that we should boast in our weaknesses and look for others that says those are the ones, people who know they need help are the ones who know they need God.
Yeah.
But the people who are poor, naked, and blind and don't know it, saying they don't have a need of anything. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
And it's like changing your audience. And I watched, you know, Francis from afar. And, I mean, you got to be diligent with the name Francis. And, he wrote a book, Crazy Love.
That's right.
If you haven't yet read Crazy Love, get ready. You need to read it. It's a must read because it's from an American standpoint, us being in America thinking, you know, we got to love God. Like we're supposed to love God like he loves us. And we can never outlove God. We can never do as much as he did for us. And we're not trying to earn anything, but we're going to answer for wasted time. We're going to answer for just loving ourselves and not even loving our neighbors. And it's this intensity, but yeah. And go into the prisons, you know, it's called the correction system.
Hmm.
I mean, it's called the correction system. How many people wouldn't have given Joseph a job? Because he went to prison, didn't do it. He was falsely accused, but it doesn't matter. Once you walk through the doors, this mindset comes over folks and it says, you know, that I can't trust you. It's like, hey, you know, I just did 5 years getting up, making my bed, you know, listening to the guards, staying under authority, got all this good record. Got my education. I got, you know, more intelligent while I was there. I'm probably going to be your best employee and I'll be grateful.
Yeah.
I'll be grateful for the job. And, but think about in ministry. I mean,
it's one of the greatest opportunities to be out there doing what Jesus would want us to do. You look at large, if someone's in prison ministry or, you know, it's like, well, they're a preacher in training or something, you know, it's like, wait a minute, everybody should be involved in prison ministry. Matthew 25, Jesus tells us, when I was hungry, when I was naked, when I didn't have any clothes, and when I was in prison, if you didn't visit me, you didn't give me something to drink, something to eat. You didn't visit them. You didn't visit me. Whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you've done unto me. But the same thing, if you haven't done it, then you haven't done it to me. And so it's like, he says a pretty awesome thing. What if we just turned our focus? What if that was the biggest part of the budget or a good size of the budget? What if that was our biggest focus or a good size of the focus that we went into the highways, the byways, the prisons, those that were totally looked past by most people, and start investing in them and rescuing them. Now, oftentimes, I find that sometimes the people that are at their lowest points, those are the ones that really want to hear. Those are the ones that are open to listen to what you have to say.
Right. We're going to talk more about this because the reason why this prison ministry exists is because its founder was a prisoner from Washington, D.C. He went to jail during Watergate. We'll talk more about Charles Colson. Yeah, we're just talking, and you just heard earlier, saw Francis Chan sharing his testimony why he's in the prisons, and he's, you know, he's real great at asking questions. You know, I just ask myself, you know, would Jesus be in the prisons, you know? That's the best I can do. And
he's getting better on his accent. He is getting better.
Very good.
That's a slight variation.
Very good. I was talking to this man, very nice man. And I had to pick up some things from him. And I couldn't understand a word he said. And I know that we talk Southern. We have a Southern accent. I know we do. But I'm thinking, countryman, I need to hear this, countryman. I'm thinking like, I want to hear what you're saying, but I just, countryman, help me out here, you know, because I had to get with him to get the stuff. And I'm thinking, where do you live, countryman? You know, it was so.
I'm your neighbor.
And I didn't want to ask him, you know, for the fifth time. And I'm like, you know, get a number, something.
Get his address. Yeah, like, GPS it.
I can't even. I don't even know if his mouth was even opening when he was talking. But I didn't want to insult him. But I did find it. It was down by the oak tree. It was down by the oak tree. Well, you know, Chuck Colson, who founded this ministry in prisons, that it's called Prison Fellowship, that that Francis Chan's talking about. Mm-hmm. Understand, when you hear this, it's going to really, you're going to go, oh my goodness. Francis now was led to go to the prisons to find, this is where Jesus would go. Mm-hmm. You're going to the needy folks. You're going to people who want, who understand, I tried this on my own and I blew it, and or I'm falsely accused and I'm here. And how did this ministry start then? What was the seed for this whole ministry? Well, this is the seed for the ministry. Chuck Colson, the founder of Prison Fellowship, he was a prisoner. He was part of the Richard Nixon administration, and they had the big Watergate scandal, which is kind of like, I don't know, just pales in comparison to today's scandals. It's like, it's almost like, we're sorry, Richard. You know, you know. But anyway, so that they had this big thing on Watergate where they recorded, they went into somebody's office and took out some tapes, and now they just do it digitally through. It was amazing. Anyway, so back on, and so he goes to jail for this. He and a couple other guys goes to jail for this. And so he's in jail. This man, this big authority figure in the presidential government of the largest, most powerful nation in the world. So he's been on the top. You know, he's been there walking in the White House, walking, which says, too, that people in the White House can go to jail, too. And then it just ends instantly. All of a sudden, he ends up, the Watergate trials, if you remember that, it went on forever. And he ends up going to jail. But what looked like a tragedy. I mean, what were you saying about Rick Joyner when he talks about it?
Rick Joyner talks about that oftentimes when people face a failure, they can get stuck in the failure and not move past the failure. They just get stuck there and allow the enemy basically to condemn them. But he says that when you go through a failure, when you go through...
Through is the key word.
Yeah, you got to go through. When you go through it, there's an anointing on your life there, not only to help you, but also to help others who have failed. And he says, you got to go through it. You got to go through it. Don't get stuck there. Go through it.
So you're saying that the reason why we're here now on VFN TV, the radio programs, because we felt so much that God's given us anointing to do this.
No doubt.
Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
One big failure.
Exactly.
Wow. I need therapy. So this whole ministry, then, that it's almost like Francis Chan is going back in to find the next Chuck Colson.
Yeah.
You know, Chuck Colson, he passed away, I think, of last year, April of last year, or April 2012, and a couple years ago. And, but here he is. Now Francis is going back in to find the next Chuck Colson.
That's awesome.
How many times do we just say, like you were talking about earlier, just, you know, they're not on our short list, or they're not, you know, the first thing on our mind. It's like, and think about this. This is what America has, I've seen happen. And my observation is America had that experience. They went to folks who said no. And instead of changing their audience, they changed their message. Mm. They're thinking, it must be saying something wrong. Maybe God didn't really mean that. And then they keep adjusting it the way you would a carburetor on a car, the way you would a musical note on a song. So finally people said, I like that. I can do that. That's pretty good. You're going to give me child care. You're going to do all these therapy for me. Songs and music. I love music. Put a concert on. And the thing is, it's like, but did we leave? We should have just left that audience and switched to a different audience. And Francis, I'm watching the man. He's changing his audience. He's trying to find someone who says yes, wholeheartedly, and says, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's reported that he even found came across a man that was homeless and didn't have a job, family, and he helped them out with getting a place and some work. And before you know it, raised them up. And years later, he winds up pastoring part of the work that Francis Chan started in San Francisco.
Right.
Wow. But we can see it right from the beginning, you know. We just have to have a vision for it. And that's what we're talking about today, having a vision for others, not who everyone would typically think you would expect to choose, but those that who Jesus would administer to.
And I just want to talk to you right now. You may be sitting right there in a jail and you're watching us right now and you're thinking, how did I get here? And you're caught on the self-focus thinking it's over. It's ended. Understand this. This could be the moment that your life changes forever. Maybe you're not in a physical prison. Maybe you're in a financial prison. Maybe you're in a relationship prison. Maybe you're in some job prison, whatever. But you're thinking it's all over. Like, this is the point. This can be a turning point for you. This could be the Chuck Colson moment where you think, wait a minute, I'm created for a purpose. I'm created for a reason. I mean, think about it. You can actually, what's inside of you? What was in Chuck, he thought it was politics. He thought what was inside of him was being assistant to the president and doing these mm-hmm. different things. But what was truly inside of him was Francis Chan down the road, ministering in a prison. All the people that have been touched through his ministry, setting a standard, by the way, a standard for us to be able to have prison ministry and doing it in the right way. So everybody eventually gets out. Very few people get a life sentence. But that's the goal, getting out. Because it's the correction institution. It's not a, you know, I'm going to treat you terrible institution. It's a correction. It's supposed to correct behavior to be able to come back out. That's justice. Justice is helping things get back in their order again. Tyrannical leadership is just abusing you and neglecting you and treating you terrible because they don't like you. The big difference, that's what's so unique about America and the jury system, which is part of the Constitution. But you think about it, there's like, if you've been talking to all these folks and you're frustrated and you're debating, you say, well, I'm just going to quit talking to people about God. I'm going to quit bringing them up. Nobody wants to hear. It's like, have you ever thought about, like I told Steve way back when, crossing the street? Do you ever think about changing jobs or somebody that's more conducive to the gospel? Did you ever think about just throwing your life into the sacrifice of, here I am, God, I'm your bondservant? You know, if you want to be like the Moravians, for example, I mean, you have these Moravian missionaries that had been part of a prayer movement for over 100 years. And obviously they weren't, but they were part of it. And they sold themselves into slavery because this one particular aisle in this place that you could not get there unless you were a slave. Mm-hmm. And so they sold themselves into slavery, said goodbye to their families, waved goodbye to their families on the pier and all that kind of stuff as the boat's pulling off. In hopes that they might tell the slaves about Jesus Christ, that they could be saved. And it's like, I look at heroes like that, and I look at those that laid in their life like Chuck Colson. Pay attention to Francis while he's here so you can tell your kids and your grandkids that you knew of Francis. Mm-hmm. I mean, this man truly has a connection. He understands. He's willing to sacrifice. He's willing to do what it takes. And he started the Multiply Movement. The Multiply Movement is about making disciples of Jesus Christ. We're called to make disciples. We're not called to hire somebody to teach somebody about God. We're all called to be able to make disciples. So I want to encourage you, if that's you, if you're sitting in that cell physically, if you're sitting in that financial cell, the relational cell, you could be at this moment in time where you could say, you know what, instead of thinking my life is over, maybe even thinking about ending your life. And this is exactly what I told one young man. He's about 16 years old. We both were sitting in his house. He got this huge fight with his father. He was like 18 years old, 17 years old, something like that, probably 17. And he said, I'm going to end my life. I'm just going to end my life. I'm just going to end it. It's totally over. He could not see past his present surroundings that he had all this life to live and everything. So he was sitting on one end of his bed, and I sat down on the end of the bed in uniform there. And I said, why don't you do this? Why don't you just act like you did it, but don't do it? And everything, how you were living your life and every decision and all that kind of stuff, act like you killed that. And now you're a new person and you start living in a new way. You make new decisions in your life. You're no longer, the old man is dead and the new man is alive. That's what happens when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You're literally killing the old man. It's being nailed to the cross. You can't, it's not, don't let the enemy confuse you thinking you're supposed to take your life. You're supposed to give your life to God, and then that old man just dies away, and then you become new. And this whole thing, he could not see past his present circumstances. But when he could see beyond that, so you know what? I don't have to own, I could just kill all this stuff, all these decisions, all these bad things, the way I was dealing with my father, all this different stuff. I could just, you know, just let that end and begin a new life. He just lit up. His whole life changed in an instant. Wow. And maybe that can be you. There's so many people that want to hear. If you've been talking to people that don't want to hear, you know, people that say they have no need of nothing, but John writes down in the book of Revelation, he says that, but yet they're poor, naked, and blind. You could yell at those folks all you want to and tell them that they're poor, naked, and blind, but if they don't see it, they don't see it. Change your audience, even if it means going to the local prison, Go till you find somebody who says yes to God. Mm-hmm. Because the greatest satisfaction as a believer who loves God, like Francis Chan's loving God here, and for you, is to be able to tell people about the goodness of God and the salvation through his son, Jesus Christ, and watch them say yes to him, and watch that old man die and that new man come alive. And they're no longer who they used to be anymore because God's made them a new man. There's nothing like this, but you got to actually go to the people. You got to break loose from the sheetrock and the stucco and the, you got to go into the highways and the byways. You got to tell them. As a matter of fact, we're commanded to tell them. There is a great expectation that Jesus Christ has of us. Mm-hmm. And you got to hear that. You can probably hear it attached to this particular segment on the VFN TV, VFN Torch. But understand that God has an expectation of us. And that expectation of us to do is to do what Francis Chan is doing. Mm-hmm. And if you are the chiefest of sinners, you're probably the most qualified. If you carry that to the cross, and you lay down your life, and you let the old man die, and the new man come alive, and get up under a covering that could begin to disciple you, and train you up, and teach you the ways of God, and you could be just like Francis Chan, just like Chuck Colson, just like John Ramos. I mean, think about it. I mean, he haven't served any time, but the truth is, only 40% of crimes reported, right? That's what they say, 60%.
That's it.
It's the mercies of God. So we thank God for Francis Chan. Follow him in the Multiply Movement of Francis Chan. You can find out more about him at VFNTV.com on The Torch. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFNTV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFNTV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.